Hi, I'm Marty DeBerge. 40 years ago, I was honored to direct a film called This Is Spinal Tap.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my rock star, Joe.
Oh, wow, that went to 11. Thank you. I'm going to see myself out.
Just be glad I didn't say anything about big bottoms.
Oh, talk about bun cakes. Your girl's got them, because I know I fucking do. Talk about mud flaps.
Oh, man. This,
your girl's got them.
This episode's already gone shit sandwich.
It's a catastrophe.
Good Lord.
Oh, man. All right. So we are going to see a movie. This is before and after reviews, everyone.
Yeah, where we see a brand new movie in the theater, give our thoughts before and after, spoiler free. And yeah, we're talking about the return of the Legends of Rock. How many years? 40 years?
40.
Yep. 40 year absence. They've gone on tour. They've died in Springfield when they went on tour. They survived that death, and they have come back multiple times, broke up, got back together, broke up. Now they're back together again, and we have a documentary, Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues.
End Continues. So their last drummer, or the drummer before this drummer, he died in a freak gardening accident.
Oh, that was actually their first drummer. Their second drummer choked on
his own vomit.
No, the official word was vomit.
It could have been someone else's vomit. All right, so we have that. This trailer looks funny as heck.
The third drummer, He spontaneously combusted.
And
so did his last gardening. The drummer from the last documentary, he also combusted.
Oh, he combusted. So this is why in the trailer, Questlove's like, nope.
Yeah, so...
I don't want to join the band.
We're going to stop joking around. Taking it seriously now. Let me say that... I guess to start out this talk before we go see the new movie, let's talk about the original. Mm-hmm. And our thoughts on that movie.
Okay, loved it.
Yeah, see, okay. In my view, I would say that Spinal Tap is a classic comedy. When people give you, you know, rating movies, like how do you rate movies and what are the high rating movies? I actually go Spinal Tap is at the top. It's one of those comedies that I think are... It actually is one of the rare movies that transcends. Nobody, at the time it released, nobody knew it was fake.
Right.
And that's something that is so incredible that they were, someone pulled that off. What's like, how could you not know? First off, Rob Reiner was on All in the Family.
Yeah, he's famous.
He was his father, Carl Reiner, right? Super famous, but I mean, I guess he just didn't look the same to a lot of people. But then Michael McKean was on Laverne and Shirley.
Yes.
I think he showed up on Happy Days. Yeah. And he even had a spinoff.
Yep.
Lenny and Squiggy.
Lenny and Squiggy, yeah.
How do you not know who these people are? I know. And I can understand maybe Harry Shearer and Christopher Guest.
Yeah, they weren't mainstream yet. Harry Shearer hadn't started on The Simpsons yet, and Christopher Guest, he hadn't starred in The Princess Bride, right?
Yeah, I feel like breakout. They must have been on SCTV before they came to Saturday Night Live for a year. That's wild to me. But the fact that it came out, and also, let's just face facts, Angelica Houston's in it. in the original Spinal Tap. She's the one that makes the Stonehenge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's I mean, Bruno Kirby is the cab driver. I mean, the limo driver. Yeah. Billy Crystal's a mime at a thing. Like, how do you not know this is fake?
Yeah.
But the fact that they pulled it off, Fran Drescher, I mean, she wasn't DC cab at the time. There's stuff like that. She was somewhere. People knew. But the fact that they got this out and it's like, you didn't know that, you know, that this is a fake joke and everything's a comedy is amazing. And what I love about the humor is that it's not in your face jokes. Right. It's jokes that are like, is this serious? Like, is this real? Like, it's such real humor, like just realism.
Yeah. Like,
it's almost like a performance art.
I read that piece. The Edge from U2, he thought that it was so well done because it's like really how it is. It's really how it is.
Multiple people said that the movie blew them away because it was like watching their life story on tour.
Yeah.
And that think that's what's amazing about it. And I think that it might not be one of those movies that you could watch over and over and over and laugh the same. Maybe some can. And I do. And I think you do.
I do.
But
yeah.
I would say that it's not like this continuous laugh. It's more like, wow, how impressive this movie is. And that's why I get to the top. I'm like, there isn't anything really like it. And also, let's face facts, this is the first mockumentary.
Yeah.
You know, things like The Office happened because of this. Right. They started a genre.
Yep.
And there's so many things about it, so many elements about it. And also Christopher Guest's career of doing these movies that are mockumentaries.
Yeah.
Which are all also incredible. This is the beast. That was the movie for me. And so I always hold it up high. It is like, to me, it's on, when you say what's the best comedies ever made, it's on the top 10 for me, because I just feel like it's one of these movies that it's like, how can you even count it? It's like, I don't know. It's basically like something you shoot to do, you know? And I think, do you agree or how do you feel?
Oh, 100%. I think this movie, every time I see it, which I've seen it a lot, I still laugh hysterically at certain scenes that probably I shouldn't be laughing so hard at. And you know, like, I guess because how many times I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, given how many times I've seen this movie, I shouldn't still be laughing this hard. But like, you know, when, you know, Derek gets stuck in the freaking pod.
Yeah, your favorite part is the pod.
You know, when he gets stuck absolutely. In the pod and then Nigel's on the stage and he can't get up. And he's like playing the guitar and he's like, you know, all the way back, you know, and bending backwards and he can't get up. And the roadie has to come. It's just hysterical. These moments, they never get old for me. It's classic. It's a classic movie. It'll never get old for me.
Yeah, I would say there's like four bits in the movie that really, when you think about comedy elements in movies, it's hard for not like four elements in the movie to not come to your mind instantly.
Right.
Right. The pod, the lost backstage, right. Mm-hmm. The, playing the guitar and, getting the airport, the air.
Oh my God.
Runway from the army base.
Yes.
On the intercom.
The Stonehenge with the little Stonehenge. Yeah. with the little person dancing around the Stonehenge and the look on Michael McKean's face when he sees the tiny Stonehenge.
Yeah.
It's priceless. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are jokes that I like better than those, but those are the big four that everybody remembers, I think.
Oh, but, and these go to 11. Literally, I use that in my daily life. Like, if someone's being loud in my office, I'd be like, all right, you're at octave 11. Yeah. You're at 11.
Yeah, I mean, it's a phrase that everybody uses. Goes to 11.
Yeah.
Or did, anyways. So that being said, now we're coming 40 years later and getting a sequel. And these comedians have been doing these characters off and on
throughout for 4 years. Yeah.
Like I said, they actually showed up in The Simpsons and died. Yeah. And stuff like that. And they've gone on tour. They've put out some albums.
Mm-hmm.
That the fact that this has lasted 40 years is a joke.
Yeah.
It's, and the thing I think is really weird about it is it isn't as successful as somebody like Weird Al.
Right.
Who's been doing it for all that time as well and still being a hit.
Yeah.
And I think that's a crazy in itself, but I've always found it really odd that the idea of Spinal Tap hasn't lasted longer and been more successful.
Right. Well, with Weird Al, I think it's because, you know, he chooses to parody very popular music, very popular icons. So
he's always with it.
So he's always on top of the game. Yeah. The next step, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what's different about Weird Al, and I get it.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I feel like rock and roll has always been around, and if they tried to stay with rock throughout the years, it would have been really funny, but I'm sure they were like, we don't want to do this forever.
Right,
it's just a joke, and I respect that. So seeing that there's a sequel is kind of like a surprise. I did not expect it. I thought it was a rumor, and I thought it was going to be one of these five-minute-off jokes that was going to show up in a commercial.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like we've seen this before. Like Jason recently came back for the first time in an Angry Orchard short movie.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that. And I think that's how I expected it. When I saw it was a full-length movie, I was both happy and worried.
Well, I mean, they're 80.
They're 80 years old. We had to look into their ages. Like,
they're 80. It's unreal. They're pushing 80. I mean, Harry Shearer, I think he's 78 years old.
That's why I was kind of hoping, and I don't know how you feel about this, but the late Ozzy Osbourne, I was hoping they were going to do stuff like that. How Oz, like, one of them has a reality show, and or one of them's, like, completely out of it.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, and that's the joke with him. You know, still like talking about rock stars, but doing rock stars how they really are now after all these years.
Right. Yeah.
It would have been really funny, you know, like,
well, we don't know how they're going to do things. I mean, we haven't seen it yet, so we'll see what's going to happen, but it's just, the trailer made us laugh. And, I hope there's a lot of cameos, some fun cameos.
Okay, well, let's talk about that now, because
they're going to rely heavily on that.
So, and I don't like it. I think the reason it worked so well the first time was that I think bringing it back 40 years later and acting like they're really a band could have been successful if they seriously treated it like that and have this be another documentary where it was like, maybe the kids of today don't know who they are.
Right.
And that would have played to the joke. And I think that could have been successful if they didn't pack it with cameos.
Yeah, I feel like I know that you don't want to hear this, but it's truth, is that I think that they need to kind of rely a little bit on having some famous musicians thrown in there. I think they're going to. I think they need to rely on that, being as, like, these are elderly men now. You know, they can't carry the whole movie by themselves. I mean, by the halfway point, they probably need a nap. You know? I mean, they need some help
here. I guess.
I mean, Rob Reiner himself is, what is he, 80-something?
He's the youngest, I think.
Is he? I don't know, but still. Like, they're going to need some help here. They can't just take it all on their own shoulders. They just can't. So I think that the cameos are going to add some flavor and some fun to it. I think they're going to add in some real musicians. Well, we already seen Questlove's there. But,
yeah,
you know.
I've always seen Paul McCartney.
And Paul McCartney's there. And also Elton John.
Yeah, we've been staying away from anything but the one trailer that was released.
Right.
So we don't really know. We saw them on Jimmy Kimmel, but we didn't watch them perform.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to see everything come, you know, like, is a blank slate.
Yeah.
But my thought process going into the movie is that I don't know if it'll work. I feel like if the joke is out in the open, it might not play. And also, one of the things that I think that worked about the original was they filmed it like it was a real documentary. But now when you film movies, they have that movie feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything feels digital now.
Yeah.
And one of the cool things about the original is he walked around with like handheld cameras and stuff like that.
Well, they didn't have the technology back in 1982 anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, they had other ways, but he was using like cheap cassettes and stuff to follow around. And I think that would have been a more fun thing, is to take it a little more back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my thought going into it. I don't have high hopes for the movie. I think that I'll get a couple laughs and it'll be a fun nostalgia trip. But as a movie, I don't know if it'll land.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm going in skeptical, but I know that I'm gonna have a couple giggles here. So if I have a couple giggles and I come out, you know, okay, it's, you know, with the movie itself.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Let's go see it.
All right, let's go check it out.
This is the site of Spinal Tap's reunion concert.
Why New Orleans?
There was a cancellation.
Who was supposed to be there?
An evening with Stormy Daniels.
Oh.
Obviously, there'll be the regular merch.
Yes.
And Hope has had a rather brilliant idea.
Tap water.
It says artisan.
It's but just tap water.
It's tap water.
We're still short a drummer.
What happened to him?
Yeah. He sneezed himself into oblivion.
Is that medically possible?
So you think he might fill the bill?
I don't want to die.
We've only lost 11 or 12.
11
drummers.
The thing that you guys had as kids, is that still there?
I'm in a band that constantly is breaking apart and coming back together. But the more we retreat into the music, the nicer things become. Not to be profound or anything, and it would be a first time for me.
All right, we're back. We just saw the movie. And Joe, what's your thoughts? What's your instant thoughts from seeing it?
Instant thoughts were, we definitely did not need this movie. I feel like this movie was kind of like closure for them. I get it that they kind of needed closure because they're getting on in years. I laughed, but it wasn't the same kind of feel as the first one. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Okay. I see. My instant thought during this movie was, I think it worked. Like, I feel like it worked. I honestly, like, in my mind, I know it's the actors.
Mm-hmm.
But I did completely get, like, immersed in them. And just believed it.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining in that sense. And I also think it didn't do the things that I was worried about. I think the cameos were actually, they worked in the way that they were set up. It wasn't like overboard cameos for the sake of cameos.
Yeah.
It was literally just like a reunion band, you know, like coming back for another performance. Mm-hmm. And just what would go involved in that.
Yeah.
Like what would be a part of that? Like getting a celebrity to cameo on stage, or trying to find musicians, trying to come back together and having egos and stuff like that. And I think it worked. It didn't like overdo any of it. It just kind of like played it safe, and it played it like it really was just a reunion. Let's get on with this. Let's do it. And then let's just get it over with. And I actually thought in that sense that it kind of worked in my favor of what, against what I was hoping it wouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like it worked in its favor for me.
Okay.
It really just kind of clicked. I thought it was a lot of fun. Of course, is any sequel ever needed? No. But does it entertain me? Is really the big question. And I was entertained. I was enjoying it.
I mean, I was entertained too, and I did laugh. But I think like the movie's weakness for me was that it didn't have those moments that, like, you know, those sporadic moments, like with Derek getting stuck in the pod, like that kind of silliness where it would have totally hit harder because they're old now, you know? So if something happened to them like that, like not necessarily that very same thing, but something similar in that same like bane where like there was something happened like with them, like old jokes, you know, like it would have hit harder now that they're like older. But they hammered in the fact that they are old, and like there was a lot of jokes about like, you know, dying and stuff in there. And I feel like we needed to uplift the audience a little more with this movie. Like, I feel like we needed a little bit more slapstick, like in the first one.
I see. I'm glad they didn't, because I feel like the slapstick made sense for a rock band becoming, you know, like trying to be, like, it kind of fading into obscurity, and so shit goes wrong because they don't have the money. And in that movie, they had no money. And everything was going wrong. People were canceling the concerts. This is like the idea that this band, it didn't fade into obscurity, but kind of got cult status and popular in that sense. And so now they have the money to put on that tour. So since they have the money to put on the big concert, I thought it worked in the sense that stuff wouldn't be going as wrong as it normally would have without the money. Like, that's why the no money works.
True. I just feel like, you know, also another thing that bothered me is that Derek did not have a very big part in this.
He didn't in the first one either.
No, but his scenes were still there. You know, like, he still had his moments. In this, I feel like he was just background. Like, he didn't do anything.
I disagree. And I had a feeling you might say that because I thought in this movie that he was the slapstick.
You thought Derek was the slapstick.
He was the one that had, like, the jokes, like, set up on him. You know, when we find out his backstory, he's working at a glue museum.
Yeah.
And he gets the glue stuck in his nose. And,
yeah.
And you know, and he was working for Bitcoin. And he has those bits where the others really don't. They're just like, no, I just have a cheese shop. And, I mean, or, you know, and I'm just like, I make music for whatever. It's like, those seem like more acceptable, but the glue museum is completely a joke.
Oh yeah. And I did laugh at that. I did, but I just feel like we needed just a smidge more slapstick, because it got a little serious when the big wigs came out, you know, like McCartney and stuff. And I felt like, okay, this is like,
Wow, I thought those set up really funny jokes.
I thought like when he showed up, it was an epic moment, I thought. But I just feel like we just needed a little bit more slapsticky. It got a little too serious at one point for me. I wanted it to be, I know that they're old, so.
But the original was like that too, where they got serious, they broke up in the movie.
Yeah, I know.
They get back together. It's like, that's why I really think the original works so well, is like, it took itself so seriously while doing the jokes. It was like, no, these are the practical things that might happen to a shitty band.
Yeah.
And I think here it's like, no, now we're going to talk about, like, we got a little bit of ego. We're coming back. We're, you know, so if musicians want to like talk to us, we're like, eh, whatever. I like that. And I also do like that there wasn't all these like set up slapsticky punch like jokes throughout the movie, so it could set up the last moment. And I was like, that's a good setup to the punch.
I get what you're saying.
Where it's like, even if you're getting better, you're still Spinal Tap. And I thought that was really cool. I think that my negative overall is that they're trying to set up this tension with the three members, mm-hmm. that goes like nowhere.
Right.
And then you kind of find out like just last moment, like what one of the members thinks, and it just gets thrown away a little bit with this, just the moment of this guy having clarity about what he thinks, and it doesn't really go anywhere, and there's no discussion for it. And it seems like it was like an afterthought, like, oh no, bands have a lot of like problems. And it would be funny if they did the problem with something really humorous, but the problem was something extremely serious for no reason.
Right. I didn't like that.
And I feel like you need to do it better and set it up better and have a better reason for it to be happening. And I wish they would have, like, that was my big problem. Otherwise, I thought the movie overall worked in what it was trying to be, like another documentary about them. But I really do wish there was a little bit more time, especially getting them.
Yeah, it was a short movie.
Like getting them to agree. There was another thing too, that it didn't work for me. I don't know why they did what they did, but there's like a manager character, and then the manager character just goes, I'm not here anymore, I'm going to leave.
No,
and then they're like mad about it, but I'm like, what is this happening?
Yeah, it was weird. It was like, I don't know if they were trying to depict like how it really is like in the rock world, where just managers just get up and quit and walk out. But it was just so out of place. And I feel like that character was a huge waste because he just made no sense to the plot at all.
Yeah, I mean, he does have some really funny one-liners, and he does have some, like, set-up jokes with the rest of them that are that work really well. But then overall, in the scheme of things, his character goes nowhere. Same thing with the other manager. You find out, like, you know, she's the owner of the contract of the band. And you think that's going to be something more, too, but that doesn't really go anywhere either.
It goes nowhere.
And it doesn't like work overall. Like, if it was a documentary, the documentarian would have been trying to, you know, set up like more drama and trying to get those hit moments.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been funny if the more of, you know, interviewing the roadies, or there is no mention of the previous piano player, the keyboardist. I don't know if there's a reason for that. I don't know anything about who that actor was, or that musician or whoever. I don't know anything about him, but they do talk about the drummers again,
mm-hmm.
but not the drummer from the movie. They talk about drummers from the past, which right. is weird. I do like the new drummer. I like the whole setup with that. I thought that was fun. So, and I also, you know, the keyboardist kind of like doesn't get much to do in this movie.
No.
I do wish there would have been more of setting them up, getting them all talking to each other and having more of a band.
Yeah.
Like talking and stuff like that. And also the roadies being important, or the people setting up the pyrotechnics. Any of that could have been funnier. Even that owner of the venue, they could have done like anything with those, like, kind of like those situations.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of wish they would have.
Missed opportunity. I just feel like I really did enjoy this movie, and I laughed quite a bit. But it didn't hit the same. That's number one. And also, I just feel like they were making this movie. They should have been making this film for the fans and for also their own closure and their own
personal reasons.
But I don't feel like this is like for the fans. I feel like they were lost in their own world in this. I feel like that. I do. Like, I needed some, you know, it didn't seem like anyone got personal attention. You know, it was like about Nigel's and David's, like, beef, and
it was hardly it was about
like
it, though.
It was, yeah, like, but it was like they threw that in there, like, you could take that crap out and then just, you know, make them have funny banter with each other instead, you know, like, it just made it weird. And so when some funny scenes did happen, it made you feel strange because you're like, okay, well, this is a serious movie. It just seemed like it was too serious for me. I wanted a little bit more. Like, I mean, stupid shit could have happened because it would have made it funnier because they're old. They're old now. It would have made it funnier if something funny happened, like, you know, Nigel, like, bent over to get his guitar and his hip jammed up and or something, you know? Like, just something stupid like that. Like, you know, he couldn't get up when he was playing guitar in the first one, you know? That kind of thing. But they didn't do that. It wasn't I just need a little bit more slapsticky, I think. Just a tiny smidge. I know it's hard for them to do physical comedy now, but...
Yeah, you can tell that they're very of age where... There's like mm-hmm. a joke in the movie where they're sitting a lot of the movie, and the character mm-hmm. says, are they going to sit the whole time?
Right.
And I was laughing about that because, yeah, they're old. And I can tell that they... I do feel... I would say, especially with Christopher Guest, I feel like he's kind of checked out a little bit. I don't know if that's that he wasn't really wanting to do this, or, you know, maybe that he's just to the point where he's not, his heart's not into it. But I felt like he was kind of going for the jokes and the singing the least of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Where I definitely feel like Harry Shearer brought a lot of jokes.
I guess when it comes down to it, I guess I'm just looking to him for most of it. But he did bring some things.
Oh, I felt like he, like, when he came to set, though, that he brought a lot of jokes, because there's like a couple jokes that are just throwaway moments out of nowhere that are just really strange, like backstory stuff. That he had like a symphony and he was doing like an opera, rock mm-hmm. opera, and then he brings a song to them.
Yeah,
and I was like, he brought jokes. The rest of them did not bring jokes. Like,
right.
I think Michael McKean is always ready to banter with the jokes,
mm-hmm.
and I just felt like Christopher Guest seemed a little less. He even, like, his wife character I think in the last half an hour, maybe disappears.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it anymore.
She's in the beginning of the movie and then they disappear.
Yeah. She has a couple calls with him, but which was like a running joke too, but I felt like he, of the three of them, I felt like he was the least interested in bringing stuff. I like how you could tell the actors were like talking about Rob Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about the character he's playing. They're like, you're a lot happier this time. And I thought that was really funny because you could tell like Rob Reiner is like brilliant to doing this.
I know he is.
I think he really was up for making jokes.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
You could tell that he was bringing it too. So I think overall, I honestly kind of was shocked because there wasn't a moment where I was like, I'm bored. And there wasn't a moment where I was like, this isn't working for me or made me want to roll my eyes. I just noticed little things here and there are the nitpicks. But I think when I looked at it overall, I was saying to myself, this is kind of more fun than I thought it would be. I don't know. It just kind of worked in the sense that it was like a fake documentary, like another just following a rock star's like big new last concert type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I think this one's working for me. It's not like anywhere near the original. I think, again, it's impossible to replicate it because of the unknown idea of it, the weird aesthetic of it. Like you just feel like it's so original and weird and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And in this one, we know we're in on the joke.
Yeah, we're in on it.
So it's kind of hard to even get close to that.
Yeah.
Because mentally we're thinking about the actress the whole time. I mean, it's like you can't help it, but
yeah.
I did enjoy it though. I thought I was going to come out very disappointed, and I was like, you know what? I enjoyed this. I thought this was fun, and it was a little fun supplemental material from the first one.
Okay. So you'll give it a 6 then?
Yeah, I'm a little confused on what score I want to give it because I feel like I'm torn between the 6 and the 7 because I feel like I have nothing really to hate or be negative toward. The only thing is like it did what it wanted to do. It made me laugh like consistently throughout. I was laughing, you know, and then I was so into the idea and kind of into the nostalgia of listening to their music. Yeah. That I was invested.
I like listening to them play the songs too. I did like that every time. I just feel like the comedy was a little bit lacking. Where I just wanted just a little bit of slapstick. But you know, I get it. I get why they can't. You know, yeah. So.
But do you feel like it really knocks your score down because you don't have bigger moments?
No, I just think like the whole tone of the movie overall. I think it's maybe like a high 6, but I can't go 7, so I'm gonna go 6. I did enjoy the film. I just didn't love it.
Yeah,
you know, I love it. It felt like it was missing something. The guys are way too old to be doing this.
Well, that's the point too. Like,
yeah, but I mean, you could see it. Like, they're barely hanging in there.
Well, that's like, you know? When you see the farewell tour for like, you know, like any of the big rock stars like Rolling Stones, you're like,
they've got to
be laying around.
Yeah, they've done 6 freaking farewell tours, and Keith Richards is going to live to about 200.
And that's my point, though. It's like, that's how I imagine the backstage. It's exactly this movie. It's exactly how I imagine it really being backstage.
Yeah.
Like, this one felt generally real. They're just in a studio together. You know, and it kind of clicked.
It does feel a little bit warm, like warmer when they're in the studio. Yeah.
I liked it. And I also felt like you could feel the tension when you're supposed to feel the tension between the characters. And, you know, I just was like, but are the jokes like knocking out of the park? No, but I think that goes along with what it's trying to be. It's hard for me to not want to give it a 7.
Yeah, I just can't go 7. I can't because it's just not exactly what I wanted it to be. So
what would it ever? Like, could it ever be?
No. I mean, it's too hard now.
I think they would have had to have put on multiple concerts to do the multiple jokes.
Yeah, and they can't. They're 80.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's one concert, so it's like, yeah. I get why the movie's doing it the way that they're doing it, but it could have used some other people. like comedians in the movie, or maybe like unknown comedians or some comedians that didn't look recognizable.
Yeah.
And as other things like the roadies and stuff. And maybe that could have added the humor a little bit more around it. Mm-hmm. And it could have added a little bit because this movie is very short.
Yeah, it's like an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And once again, when the end credits come up, it's a whole, there's a whole like scenes that we didn't see throughout, like interviews. And they're all very funny.
Yeah.
And so it's like the credits are really giving us a lot of jokes. I wish I would have got a lot of that.
Yeah.
But there, even the callbacks to the characters in the first movie who are still alive, some of those were very fun to see.
Yeah, that's for sure. I do like the callbacks. So, yeah, but that's it. You know, I mean, I feel bad because we were literally the only two people in the theater.
I knew it. I knew we were the only ones going to be here.
I think these guys are very, very talented and fun to watch. And they've been for years. I mean, there are, you know, there are three actors that have been around a long time. And I feel like, you know, people should see this movie because, it was fun. I did enjoy this movie. I just, like I said, I didn't fall in love with it. So I'm going to stick with my six. But I say, you know, a six is a good movie. It's a decent film. So I would say go see it. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. I think it's a very hard thing to expect people to go see a movie like this. This is for the older crowd who really love the idea of the original and kind of mm-hmm. hold it dear. I can't imagine newer crowds caring.
It's the Gen Xers and the boomers.
Yeah. We were talking about that with Naked Gun where we saw it, the theater was packed, but then after that first weekend, it died.
Yeah.
That movie just like, that was it. Mm-hmm. And seeing how it didn't make money in the long run, it made me go, comedies aren't doing so good. So again, this movie, I was like, oh, this is an obscure one. This feels like it was supposed to be a special on like HBO or Netflix. So it's shocking that it came to theaters.
Yeah, I'm shocked at that too.
Yeah. But so I'm going to go a little higher than you and I'm going to stick with my score because I really just don't hate it. And there's nothing for me to even knock it. Like I get what it's doing. I do wish there was more. That's what I would have to say. I wish it was kind of longer. 7
is a good spot for you to land, but like I said, I think if something's lacking, I'm going to give it a 6. So there we are.
All right. Until next time, thank you for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
What we need to do is secure your legacy. If during the gig, at least one, but ideally no more than two of you were to die,
would you settle for a coma?
Oh, no, that's interesting.
You know,
that's a great bit of thinking outside. Well, a literal box, I suppose.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah.